Amen. Hey, greet about three people and tell them glad to see you here today, and then you can be seated. Man, 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 what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, let me just take a moment and say something. Can I take a moment and say something to you right quick? So I stand in awe of you, God. Can I just say this to you today? And we're going to talk more about this through the whole entire sermon today. But our perspective in life changes everything. You need to understand that your perspective in life, do you know this? We will either stand in awe of the power of our God, or we will stand in awe of the problems that we're facing. Come on, somebody. Wherever you are and whatever you're facing, and I know that you're facing some struggles, and I know that life is tough, but the perspective that we take, there's many of us in here today, we are standing in awe of, I cannot believe that cancer has attacked my family. We are standing in awe of, I cannot believe they talk. We're standing in awe of the problems, and then there's some of us that are standing here with our eyes lifted up unto where our help comes from, and we are focused on God, and we are saying, I am in awe of God because God is bigger than anything that I could face today. It's a perspective. Yeah, me and you, girl, we got it going on. We're gonna preach today. Perspective is everything. That's what I'm going to talk to you about today. So just let me welcome you right quick and say thanks for coming today, man. It's so good to get to come hang out with y'all. How about put your hands together for that rain, y'all? I mean, like, it's just like. I thought the Lord was a little late, but I mean, you know, God is always on time. He sent it just right. And so, welcome you. We're here. We're preaching through the book of Ephesians. And so, today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verse number 3. So, if you got your Bible, you got your phone, you got your iPad, however you read the Word of God, get that out. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. I'm going to read that scripture to you, and then we're going to pray and see what the Lord would say to us today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. The Apostle Paul says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Anybody blessed in here today? Come on, let's just go ahead and shift your perspective right now. Come on, somebody. Anybody in here blessed today? Blessed. Blessed, Paul said. Yeah. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Father, we just ask you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask for your anointing to be in this place. Lord, I pray today that you would help me, that you would speak through me, that I would speak beyond my wisdom, beyond my intellect, Lord, that the words that roll off of my lips today would be absolutely your word, God, and that your word would go forth and do what you sent it to do, that it would not return void, that it would speak to men and women, it would speak to them, that it would be a due word, that it would be a word in season, that you would challenge us, that we would leave here today different because we've been in your presence and we've heard your word. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people shouting. Slap your neighbor, high five, say, I think it's going to be good today. The Apostle Paul, he starts out and he says this, all blessings be to God. Blessed be the Lord God and Father. What I love about this Apostle Paul is everything that happens in his life, he directs praise back to God. Everything that happens to Paul, he's like, praise God. Like every, Paul realizes and Paul understands that every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father up above. And it would do us some good to understand that. It would do us some good to understand that every good gift we got, that the Salty Rome Bakehouse, come on somebody, them cinnamon rolls and them almond croissants over there, can I get a witness? That is a gift that God has given Chelsea. It is a gift from God to be able to make them things. Them steers that the Horn family raises over there, that ain't all about Brandon Horn. That is a gift that God has given him to see. Every good and perfect gift that we got, our children, our health, our family, our preacher, come on, our country, every good gift we got comes from the Father up above. And the quicker that we can understand that, and the quicker that we realize that we didn't earn this, that it's not by our works and not by our money that we've got all these things, the quicker that we can understand that everything we've got, God has given unto us, the easier it is for us to direct praise back to Him. Paul said, everything I got is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God in writing this letter. We're looking at the book of Ephesians. It's actually just a letter. It's just a letter. The Apostle Paul takes out a pen and he takes out parchment paper and he begins to write this letter to the church to Ephesians. Where's Paul at? Let's talk about this. Where's Paul when he's writing this letter? Is he in some office? Has he got the air conditioner set to 70 degrees? Has he got a stand-up desk? Has he got a MacBook computer? Is he dictating it? What's going on? Well, Paul's writing this letter to the church of Ephesians, and you need to know Paul's in prison. Paul's in prison. He's not in the American prison. He's not in the American prison where he gets 3 square meals a day and gets to sleep on a memory foam and gets rec time out in the sunshine. He's in a Roman prison. He is in the bottom of a prison. He's in stocks. He's in chains. He's been beaten. He's been abused. He's been ostracized. He's in prison. And Paul is writing this letter to the church. This is not the first time Paul's been in prison. Not the first time. It's the second time. It's the second time he has been in prison. So my mind goes to, why is he in prison? Why is he in prison? DWI? Did he go to the West Texas Fair and Rodeo and have too much to drink? And on the way home, the law pulled him over, got DWI, and they threw him in jail? No. Did he not pay some tickets? Is that why he's in jail? Did he break? No. You need to understand, Paul is in prison, in a Roman prison, being beaten, being mistreated, being ostracized and criticized because he's been sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That is so hard for you and I to grasp. Can I hear a good amen? We don't understand that. He's just sharing. He's just preaching about the good news of Jesus, and they arrest him and put him in jail. I want you to look at me. Look. I want you to listen right quick. This is so very important that you and I understand this. The Apostle Paul is a victim of a nation that has no religious freedoms. And I realize that's a little bit political, but he is living in a nation. And you know what the government of that nation is saying to Paul? You worship the God that we tell you to worship. You worship how we worship. You worship when we tell you to worship. And if you worship anything different than what the government says, we will arrest you and throw you in jail and we will torture you the rest of your life. Paul is a victim of a nation that has no religious freedoms. That kind of makes me just have a little bit greater of appreciation for the United States of America, where we have religion of freedom. If you want to worship to the Pentecostal church, worship to the Pentecostal church. If you want to worship to the Church of Christ church, worship to the Church of Christ church. If you want to go to the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall and worship Jehovah, if you want to go to Utah and worship Mormon, you have freedom in the United States of America to worship however you want to worship. And I'm telling you, it matters that we live in a nation where we have religious freedoms. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to preach about it. We say, Cody, just preach the word of God. I am preaching the word of God because Paul is a victim of a nation that had no religious freedoms. And I'm telling you, if you and I act like there's no religious, there's no attack on Christianity in America, if you are sitting and we're playing some kind of game and we have our, like an ostrich, have our head in the sand and we're playing like there is not an attack on Christianity in America, we are very naive and we're being very ignorant. Because what God is doing in our lives is not just for us, it's for our children and it's for our grandchildren. And if somebody doesn't stand up and vote and fight for religious freedoms in America, the America that our children grow up in will not be the America that you and I know. They are trying right now to... Let me just say this and then I'll move on, okay? Look at your neighbor, say, hey, neighbor, sometimes he does this. Because it's important. It's so important. Because we have to realize that our religious freedoms can be taken from us just like that. And it's so important that you and I understand that when we go to vote in this country, it is a right that we have as citizenship of the United States of America to go vote for our leaders. It is so important that we do not vote for what culture says. It is so important that we do not vote what is cool. It is so important that when you and I go to the voting booth, we vote with a biblical perspective and a biblical worldview, and we vote what the Word of God says. It matters to our children and to our grandchildren because Paul is living in a nation that has no religious freedoms. He goes against the grain. He preaches the gospel. They arrest him and they throw him into jail. He's in this jail. I talked to you about perspective. I want us to look at the perspective that Paul has when he's in prison. He's writing this letter from prison. I love the fact that Paul is not totally focused on himself and he's not having a pity party for where life has placed him. He's not having a pity party. He's not whining like, why am I in here, God? Like, God, I don't deserve this. Like, this shouldn't be happening to me, God. Like, God, I have suffered more beatings and more persecution than any other apostle, God. Why am I? Let me get my phone out and post on Facebook and social media so that everybody can feel sorry for me because I don't deserve this. Paul's not focused on himself. Paul is not magnifying his problem. How many of you know the church of Jesus Christ is really good at magnifying their problems? Can I hear a good amen? Paul's not magnifying his problems. Paul's not whining. Paul is not complaining. Paul is not suffering from depression or anxiety. He is not saying this stress is absolutely wearing me out. I cannot function. Listen, we can learn from the way the Apostle Paul handled struggles and trials. Paul didn't focus on himself. He began to focus on others. He said, I'm going to write a letter. Even though I'm in a tough time and even though I'm in a dark place, I'm going to write a letter to somebody else and I'm going to try to encourage them to be better and to continue to trust God. How many of you know life would be better if we quit focusing on ourselves and our problems and our feelings and our emotions and the way people made us feel? If your life is all about you, welcome to depression. Welcome to anxiety, because you know what? It was all about us until we got washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and now we have become a soldier in the army of God, and now it's about God and not about us, because not I live, Christ lives in me. I have been crucified. Y'all got way too quiet, way too quick today. Paul says, I'm going to choose joy in the journey. I'm going to choose joy in this journey. I'm going to choose joy. Paul is not magnifying his problem. He's magnifying and he is praising God. And he's saying, all blessings be unto God the Father. What a powerful perspective. Perspective. What a powerful perspective. How many know perspective is everything? I read a quote this week and it said, the song is as sad as the listener. The song is as sad as the listener. Perspective. How do you hear the song? How do you see the song? How do you see your life? Because the fact of the matter is this, there's many of us that have gathered in this room today, and probably, if I'm going to be real, the biggest majority of you, the glass is half empty rather than being half full. Because that's your perspective. Your perspective in life, you're going, that's just half full, half full. And the rest of you are going, praise God, praise God. It's half full. There's this struggle. I'm doomed or I'm blessed. I'm a victim or I'm a victor, or I'm loved or I am forgotten. There's this struggle with having perspective in life, and the right perspective, a biblical worldview will make the impossible possible in your life. It's your perspective. What is your perspective this morning? What is your perspective as I read the Bible and I see these stories that we all love? It's a perspective. It's all it is. We see the story of David and Goliath. There's this big champion, this big giant Goliath, and he's talking down to the armies of God. The entire army of God, the entire army of Israel, they've taken this perspective. We're screwed. The giant's bigger than us. We're never going to win. The whole army is taking a negative perspective, but one little boy shows up. One little shepherd boy, one little teenage boy with a different perspective. And he says, you know what? I was taking care of my father's sheep in the field, and God was with me when the lion came, and God was with me when the bear came. And he said, the same God that was with me then is going to be with me today. And he said, Goliath, I come at you. You may come at me with a spear and a sword, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. And because one little boy had a different perspective, he gained victory that day. Not only did David gain victory that day, the entire nation of Israel got victory because of the perspective of one young man. Your perspective matters. How we see the world, how we see our government, how we see problems, how we see circumstances. Another story of this great man of God named Elijah in the Old Testament. It's been a big drought, hasn't rained in years. How many of you can identify with that? Come on, somebody. And the Lord told Elijah, it's going to rain. And Elijah said to Ahab, to the king, he said, Ahab, go up on top of that mountain and look, see if you see a thundercloud, because it's fitting to rain. Ahab went up to the top and he came back down and he said, I don't see anything. Elijah said, just keep going. Go seven times. And on the seventh time, he came back down. He said, I see a little old cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah, with a different perspective, said, yep, that's all you need to see, buddy. You better hook your horse up to the chariot, and you better get out of here because the floodwaters are about to come. Ahab saw it as little, but Elijah saw it as much. Perspective changes everything. There's another little story in the Bible that a lot of us know. Jesus was going to need to feed 5,000 people. They had nothing to feed them but two fish and five loaves of bread. Jesus' top 12 guys said, what are we going to do with this? We ain't got enough stuff. Their perspective was there wasn't enough. But Jesus said, take what you've got and put it in the hands of the master. Put it in the hands of God. And Jesus had a perspective of we can do all things if we'll just believe God. Perspective changes everything. It changes. Can I just say your perspective will define you? Your perspective will define your future. Your perspective will define your relationship with God. Your perspective will define the relationships that you have. How do you see? Do you see through the eyes of your family? Do you see through the eyes of government? Do you see through the eyes of education? Or do you look and do you view everything through the Bible and through the lens of the Word of God? Perspective changes everything. And I really believe this. You know what? Look at me. Your perspective needs to change. It needs to change. Your perspective needs to change. So here's the problem with perspective. Perspective is a learned response. We learn the perspective that we have. Many of you see the world the way you see the world because you see the world the way your parents saw the world. I learned it from my mama and my daddy. My daddy was negative. My daddy complained. My mama was a victim. My mama thought everybody was out to get her. My mama thought everybody looked at her and made fun of her and nobody loved her. My mama thought this, and so because your mama thought that, it was passed down unto you, and you have learned to see and perceive everything the same way. It's learned. We learn it from college. Oh, God, let me tell you, college kids, you got to be careful what the perspective that they're passing down to you from the college campuses nowadays. They're trying to change a biblical worldview. They're trying to infiltrate your mind. We got to know. We got to see everything through the perspective and the lens of the Word of God. We learned it from our parents. We learned it from our experience. Cody, you don't know what I've been through. Cody, you don't know what I faced. Cody, you don't know how bad they hurt me. Cody, you don't know what kind of marriage I went through. Cody, you don't know the abuse that I went through. And because of the experiences we have, we perceive everything through those experiences. Can I just challenge you? We have got to see things through the lens of the Word of God. Because how many know the Word of God is powerful, y'all? How many know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? How many know the Word of God is truth? How many of you know the Word of God is what our life is based on? We have to have this perspective. We have to have this. So some of us, can I preach to y'all? Some of y'all are already in your mind going, well, I just can't help the way I look at things. It's just the way I am. I just see things negative. I just can't help it, Cody. It's me. I'm just an emotional person, you know. I'm kind of a jealous person. Cody, you just don't know. I just can't. And I say to you, you've already bought the lie of the enemy. Stop believing that the way you see the world now and the way you see people now is always the way that you're going to see it. Stop. You have the power of God. You have been transformed. You have been changed. Not you live, but Christ lives in you. If we make a choice to see and live with a different perspective, we are able to do so. But if we choose to continue the same perspective, expect no different result in your life. Make a change. Stop justifying your negative perspective. Can I tell you, I've been preaching for a long time. You know what my main job is? Like, I am a preacher of the Word of God. I love to preach the Word of God. I'm an evangelist of manliness. I just believe in manliness. I believe in the patriarchy. I believe in the Word of God. I believe there's a lot of things that I do. But you know what I do, the main thing I do? try to change a negative perspective to a positive perspective. That's all I do. People call me all the time and they need counseling. People call me all the time and they need help. People are struggling with this. They're struggling with that. You know what I do? All I do is try to come in and get your mind and your eyes to focus in a different way, to quit seeing things through a victim mentality, to quit seeing things through the mentality that the doctor gave you. I just try to twist you and help you see things through the Word of God and know that you were special and know that you were created in the image of God and know that He that began a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, to turn your mind to thinking this is impossible, to turn your mind to think all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Perspective. If you would change your perspective, I wouldn't have a job anymore. Because we get these negative perspectives. Paul is in prison. Paul learned from his previous experiences. This is the second time Paul was in prison. We're going to look at the scripture. What happened the first time Paul was in prison? Paul learned from his experiences. Look at me. Look. You and I have got to learn from our previous experiences. We have to learn to be better. We have to learn to do more. Let me ask you a quick question. Has a negative, hateful, dark, victim mentality, half glass empty perspective ever helped you out or helped anybody around you out? Let me answer that question for you. No, it has not. Paul learned in the second time he was in prison from the first time he was in prison. Let's read Acts chapter 16. You got your Bible turned there. Acts chapter 16. What happened the first time Paul was in prison? Mistreated, abused, falsely accused. Acts 16, 23. And when the prison guards had inflicted many blows upon Paul and Silas, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison, the bottom of the prison, and he fastened their feet into stocks. But about midnight, about the darkest hour, at about midnight, when things weren't looking good, at about midnight, when the blood was oozing out of his head where he'd been beaten, about midnight, when his emotions began to play on him, and about midnight, when darkness had come in, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were open, and everyone's chains fell off. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword. He was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights to be turned on, and he rushed in, trembling with fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Paul learned from his first experience. And his first experience was, when I'm locked up, tied up, and living in darkness, my emotions are going crazy, I don't feel good, everybody else has written me off, I am going to take a biblical worldview, and I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills, to where my help comes from, and I'm going to sing praise to God, because God is good, and every good thing I got is for a gift from God up above. He took this perspective. He didn't allow his circumstance. He didn't allow what he could see physically to dictate his perspective in life. And he said, "Come on, Silas, can you get this? How many know it's good to have a partner that believes the same way you believe?" That's why the Bible says not to be unequally yoked with non-believers. Paul and Silas are in prison, beaten black and blue. Paul looks over about midnight and says, "Silas, hey, dog, let's sing a song, you want to?" Paul, and maybe Silas is like, "Say what? My lips are swole where I got a whipping. I don't want to sing. Paul's like, yeah, but you know what? God is still good, and we're still saved, and we're still on our way to heaven shouting victory. And if we die in this prison, so be it. I'm going to get to go to heaven someday. And Silas said, you know what? I kind of like your perspective, Paul. Come on, let's sing this a little bit. And they started singing, "There's Another in the Fire." And they started singing, you know what? God has never failed me, so why would he start failing me now? He won't fail me now. And they started singing, and they started praising God. And when the blessings of God rolled off their tongue because of the perspective in their heart, their circumstances begin to change. That was good. Y'all should have clapped right then, just saying. When his perspective changed and the blessings and the praise of God rolled off their tongue, their situation and their circumstance supernaturally changed. How many of us need to change our perspective? Change what's rolling off our tongue. Change the way we see things. Change the way we see ourselves. How many of us need to lift up a shout and a praise and bless God at all times? It will change everything in your life. You know, I love this scripture. I got one of my best friends says this is my favorite scripture of all. Romans 8:28. It says this: all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. You know who wrote that? Paul. Paul's sitting in the prison going, you know what? All things work together for good to those that love God, that are called according to his purpose. He's like, I don't feel good. It don't look good. It don't sound good. I wish it wasn't here. But God is still sovereign. God is still on the throne. God still has a plan. God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. And God is going to show up wherever I'm at, whatever's going on in my life. What a perspective. What a perspective. You and I got to change that. Because can I say something to you? When Paul began to praise God, how many know the Bible says in Psalm 22:3, God inhabits the praises of his people. How many of you think that it would have been easy for Paul to go, I'm in this prison and I just don't think God's here with me? How many of you have asked that question this week? Just don't think God's forgotten me. I don't think God's not here. God doesn't know what's going on. But no. Paul said, you know what? I'm going to praise God. And the Bible says when we praise God that his presence comes down and his presence inhabits the place where we are. And you know what? When the presence of God is in a place, there is joy unspeakable. And when the presence of God is in a place, there was power that is preceded by none. When God's presence is in a place, there is peace that passes all understanding. And sometimes the only thing that we need to do is change our perspective and know that God is here and God's working. Perspective changes everything. Challenge you, man and woman of God. Here's what else we need to look at. How many know your perspective not only affects you, but it affects the people around you? Some of you, your perspective sucks. I'll just tell you straight up. I know some of you. Every time there's some of y'all that call me. Can I just tell you this? Like, if you call me like six times and I don't call you back, there's a reason. Because I don't want to hear your negative perspective, because it's going to be the same every time you call. And I mean, most preachers wouldn't tell you that, but I'll just tell you that, okay? Because every time I see you, it's a problem. Every time I see you, it's a struggle. Every time I see you, you're a victim. Every time I see you, everybody's against you. Every time I see you, the enemy's kicking your butt. You know what? At some point, you've got to grow up, and you've got to suck it up, and you've got to quit looking through that lens, and you've got to put on the lens of the Word of God and say, I am a child of God, and God is on my side, and I am going to change my perspective in life. Because your perspective and my perspective changes everybody around us. I wonder how many of you look at your kids and go, man, my kid's perspective sucks. You know why? Because yours sucks. And they listen to you their whole life. For real. I'm just telling you. Paul said, I'm in prison, but I'm going to praise God. Paul said, I'm in prison, but I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lord God and Father. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, when he starts praising God, the presence comes down. Shoo, boom, chains fall off. Lights come on. Gates fall open. Everything changes. And this prison guard, he was put in the prison to guard Paul and Silas. Like, these are Roman soldiers, y'all. And these Roman soldiers are like, we buried a guy one time a few years back. and we put guards in front of the tomb, and somehow that rock rolled away, and somehow that prisoner got out. These are his followers, like, y'all guard Paul and Silas closely. And this prison guard looks up, and he sees Paul and Silas standing there with no change, and he's like, I'm just going to kill myself. Like, I have messed it up. Like, the king is going to torture me. I'm just going to kill myself. And Paul goes, wait a minute. Ho, ho, no, 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 no. Don't kill yourself. We're all still right here. We haven't left. And because of Paul's perspective, this prison guard, who was formerly a not believer, he came running into the Apostle Paul and said, what can I do to be saved by the same God that has saved y'all? This prison guard's life, this prison guard who was once an enemy to the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life was saved because one person had a godly biblical perspective. Like, I want to be I want to be a witness for the Lord. Can I hear a good amen? Like, I don't want to just show up at church and be a consumer mentality. What's the church got for me? What songs are they going to sing? I like, how's the prayer? Like, I want to shine the light. And can I tell you the greatest witnessing tool you can have? A good perspective. Our world is full of darkness. Our world is full of hate. Our world is full of worry. Our world is full of anxiety. Our world is full of stress. Take this pill. Go do yoga here. Go let them do this to you. Go over here. All these kind of treatments. And you know what the real treatment we need? It's Jesus Christ and his peace. And if you walk out a biblical perspective and everyone around you sees it, there will be people who now want to take their life but no longer want to take their life. They want to step into eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ because of our perspective. Conrad, you better come help me close, buddy. Paul has this great perspective in prison. Psalm 34:1. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 34:1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Golly, I want to be that person. I want you to be that person. At all times, I'm going to bless God and praise God. Let me ask you something today. How's your perspective? How's your perspective on life? Like, I had this surgery on my eyes a few years back, and the surgery petered out. It just did. And I had to go back and get me some more horn rims, y'all, so I could see you a little bit better. When I put these glasses on, my perspective changes. Like, Billy, you ugly, but you twice as ugly when I put these glasses on. My perspective changes. Some of us, we're still looking at the world through the way we did 15 years ago, and your surgery's done petered out. We're still looking at the world the way my mama looked at the world. Everybody's out to get me. I'm always going to be poor. I'm just sick. God's forgotten me. We're looking through that old lens. Some of you have been hurt, been through divorces. You're still looking at everything through that way. You're looking at it like everybody. You're looking through this lens of everybody's judging me. Everybody's judging me for the way I look and the way I you're looking through these negative, screwed up lenses. And it's messing with you. It's messing with your relationships. It's messing with your witness. It's messing. You need to put on these Bible glasses. Come on, somebody. Put on these Bible glasses. When I put on the Bible, I see the power of God. When I put on these Bible glasses, when I have a biblical worldview and a biblical perspective, I go, don't matter what nobody else says about me, I know what God says about me. When I put on these Bible glasses, it's not like I'm limited by my inadequacies. I look at the power of God that's in me, and I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you get a biblical worldview and a biblical perspective, it will change everything in your life. And the choice is yours. And I got to go. I got to quit. And you're like, please, Cody, you've railed on me enough today. Choice is yours. I'm going to be honest because I got to go. Stop making excuses. Stop. Stop doing it the same old way. Choice is yours. New perspective. Stand on your feet and we'll close. Father, speak to us. Holy Spirit, convict us of our negative perspective. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Make us uncomfortable. Holy Spirit, make us sweat just a little bit. Holy Spirit, push us to realize that we have a negative perspective and let us accept a new perspective, a biblical worldview today. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing this like we love the Lord, because how many know God is worthy of it all? Come on, somebody. I said God is worthy of it all, and He deserves the glory no matter what we're facing.